Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The curtain has been called for the Lake Show. LeBron and the Los Angeles Lakers are officially done. Tuesday's 121-110 loss to the Phoenix Suns, combined with a 116-97 win by the San Antonio Spurs over the Denver Nuggets, officially eliminated LA from playing contention with three games remaining in the regular season. Now, Jay Williams, you had a bit of a bombshell statement on the Lakers.
The Lakers are the most disappointing team in sports history.
Yeah,
I know
think
he
you're
said
right.
In Lakers history, I would challenge anybody to tell me what team had more hype that fizzled out.
Give me a candidate,
out.
Jay. Give me a candidate.
I don't even know a candidate. I don't know a candidate that we talked about had a chance to get to the NBA Finals or the Super Bowl that didn't make the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs, man. Like, that's how bad. We're talking about the turmoil that they've had as a team ownership perspective, the drama around Russell Westbrook, that reality show happening every single day. He's lost his jump shot. You tell me what other team has turned into a train wreck like the Lakers have this year.
I mean, I grew up a Red Sox fan, so there was a lot of disappointment for a very long time. We've got Shea, Jordan, and Jay with us. Jordan, do you agree with Jay's take on these Lakers?
Hell
on the most
no.
disappointing team in history?
You don't agree with his take. Shea, you don't agree with his take.
No.
Jay, I don't even know if you agree with your take on this one, and here's why. You can look in the same season here and tell me it could be Brooklyn just as much as it could be L.A. And you're going to say, well, Brooklyn's making the playoffs, the play-in. What if they lose in the play-in? Are they not in the same boat? When I saw this Lakers roster constructed, I said, it's an old group. It's a clunky roster. I don't think AD is going to hold up. I don't really know how Russ fits. I didn't have this team pegged as a team that was going to go win a championship. I didn't believe
it. Oh, so you think you just predicted everything?
No, I didn't think they'd be this
Jay's
bad.
She knows you so well.
I predicted roster. Wasn't going to work. AD was going to get banged up. What else? You got
I try to get away from this when I come to work.
You can't.
This is not
No, it follows you everywhere you go.
Look, here's my thing. I didn't expect this team to be great. I didn't expect them to be historically awful. But there's plenty of ways you can look at Brooklyn and say, what's different? I guess, what was your expectation for this team? You thought that Russ, AD, and LeBron were going to be title contenders? I didn't never believe that. So there's no way that I could think this was that kind of massive failure. And also, you're sitting here caping for LeBron, and I love it because I'm a LeBron guy, but you're saying LeBron delivered a title 2 years ago, so we need to chill. Like, he's achieved something there. So then how can you turn around and say, just you flip the page to the next season, and it's the worst sports gaffe in history from a team? That seems like an extreme from one to the other. It doesn't quite balance out fairly.
The operative word was disappointing. Disappointing. I didn't say worst team. I said disappointing.
Which comes
you said most disappointing. Most disappointing. Sports history. Sports history.
I know what I said. Yes.
All sports.
Yes, I did.
Which comes
all
with
sports.
Expectation.
So I would love for you guys to give me some examples of bigger gaffes that have happened in other sports teams. But let me give you a couple things. You're trying to compare it to Brooklyn. Brooklyn's in the play-in tournament.
That's not the playoffs.
And where are the Lakers? I'm sorry. The Lakers are 17 games under 500. 17 games under 500. Let me just tell you what Adam Silver and the NBA have done to help teams who are on the verge of being on the outside looking in to get into the play-in, the playoffs. Oh, let's expand it to 10 teams per conference. 10 teams per conference. Let me tell you when this whole team came about. Five Hall of Famers on the same team. Two guys who are part of the top 75 all-time players list on the same team. A guy involved in the greatest of all-time player conversation between him, Mike, Kareem, whatever you want to put in that. In the conversation, they have 48 losses. It's the most of LeBron James' career. And you're telling me all this stuff that we've seen with Russell Westbrook, not a Hall of Famer, can't find his jump shot? Can't find his jump shot. AD, who can't be available for a team that 2 years ago won the championship, for a team that then came the next year and LeBron James had his first round exit in a playoff series ever, and the guys are talking about keep calling us old. That's disappointing. We're not talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. We're not talking about the Memphis Grizzlies. We're talking about the history of the Lakers.
So then maybe we can revise your comment and maybe it could sit a little bit better in this big belly of mine. Maybe if you said this front office had one of the worst off seasons.
But that's team, though. That's team. I look at team as front office, ownership, and the team constructed.
It's what you could have had, it's what you let go, and it's what you brought in. And the collaboration of all this. And by the way, let's not forget about that top 10 pick. Where's that top 10 pick going?
It's 2027. It's not going anywhere.
It's protected now. It's going to New Orleans for this upcoming season as a top 10 pick.
Yes.
That is also a part of this whole thing. So now you literally have no option to fix it. And now we're sitting here saying they have to figure it out with LeBron, AD, and Westbrook again. Now, I think you can, but I think it's going to be an extreme reach. So I look at this front office and I say, front office, what a massive failure. Frank Vogel can coach. Frank Vogel built that defense to a top three defense. He's a defensive mastermind. He's a championship coach. AD's a Hall of Famer who can't stay healthy, and you knew that.
A couple questions.
Russell Westbrook is too old and doesn't fit there as it's constructed, and you knew that, and you let it sit here and play out like this.
This is great. Keep
Talk
telling me more because you're making my point.
But
when you look,
why are you saying this now? You could have said this at the beginning of the season about the Lakers. When they made all these moves, you could have said this.
I didn't need to say that the Lakers are the most disappointing team before I even see them play a game. Why would I say that
there
at the beginning of the year?
There were high hopes in the beginning.
You say the Lakers, doesn't the front office, aren't they included in the Lakers'
my
name?
My point is, Jay, what got
isn't
you to
all
this
their
point?
Moves?
What got you to this point? You should have been right there at the beginning of the season.
But wait, are you arguing against my point that they're not the most disappointing team? Or are you arguing about my point?
If I did,
I'm confused
because
now.
If I didn't have expectations for this team, if I had high expectations and said that roster goes and wins the title, and we sit here right now, then we
Jordan
say yes.
Jordan Cornette.
They were the odds-on favorite, though,
Since the preseason title favorites were first announced before the 1984-85 season, the top teams have never failed to make the playoffs. The Lakers are the first team to do so in NBA history.
Okay, but you're saying – can I just interrupt really quick? You're saying that this is the most – a disappointing team in sports. We're not even just talking about the NBA. Look, this Lakers team is terrible. This is not where anyone thought they would be, not playing in the postseason. They're 32 games back, essentially, from where I thought they would be, which is towards the top of the West. They're nowhere close to that. They're terrible. And towards down the stretch, they were giving up over 100 points per game. They can't figure it out on either end of the floor. The only thing I'll say to you is there's been so many disappointments in sports. I could go even to like the Browns this year in football. Were they pegged to win a chip? No. Were they pegged to win multiple playoff games? 100% yes with all the talent they were bringing back. I'm not saying the Browns are the Lakers, but to say they're the most disappointing team ever seems like such a stretch.
That's where I lay.
Browns have potentially the greatest player of all time.
And we know what the Browns franchise is.
It's like Tom Brady when these guys won the championship, a Super Bowl, and then they came back the next year and didn't make the
playoffs.
But
what about Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, and Kobe Bryant? What about that Lakers iteration when they brought those three together? Now it's supposed to work. That was a massive failure. What about the Dallas Cowboys in these last few seasons when you spent all the money that Jerry Jones has and it's come to nothing? Not even sometimes playoff burst period, but certainly not
postseason
wins.
Were they odds on favorite to win it?
I'd have to go back and look.
No, they weren't.
There was massive high. There was massively high expectations.
They were odds-on favorite to win it.
But that's my issue.
So here's my thing. If you guys want to come at me, and if you want to give me an examples of teams that you think were more disappointing than a team that has five Hall of Famers on it, than a team that has the greatest player of all time that finished 17 games below 500.
Chill out on greatest of all time. Let's calm down on that.
He's in the convo.
It's not a full-gone conclusion.
That's fine, but he's in the conversation.
But I'm trying to ask you, I'm laying it out right in front of you, if this Brooklyn squad loses in the play-in game, knowing that they've had three Hall of Famers to begin the season, three surefire, kind of in their prime Hall of Famers, younger, not nearly as long in the tooth as this Lakers squad, stacking those rosters, you're telling me it wasn't the same belief with the Brooklyn Nets as it was with the Lakers? And, oh, by the way, if Brooklyn does lose those two games in the play-in and finds themselves out, it's not much different, Jay.
This conversation has nothing to do with the Brooklyn Nets.
It's another team to throw out there to compare to it.
Because James Harden wanted to be out. He was gone.
Because of the mess that
during
it was.
The season, Jay.
I understand.
During
I mean, look, I've said this. I thought that was the greatest trio that the game has never got a chance to witness. I understand all that.
That's a failure.
That is a failure.
You're right. That's a disappointment.
It is a disappointment. It is. But what I'm trying to tell you is, even when KD went out and didn't play, Like, they were number one in the East with KD. When he went out, it didn't play. LeBron James and Russell played the majority of the season. Like, Russell Westbrook was an MVP, and, a guy that led the league in triple-doubles for a very long time. Like, that's a hell of a combination.
So tell me this. If AD stays healthy, if LeBron stays healthy, Russ stays healthy, which means
Let me ask you a question. Which means that whole roster is still constructed as is. Same expectations next year. With LeBron James playing at an MVP-like state and Russell Westbrook on the same team, would you have told me at the beginning of the year you would have expected them not to be in the playoffs?
No, I would have told you I would not expect them to win a championship.
Okay, would you have told me if they were in the play-in, would you have said that would have been a disappointing season?
Absolutely.
If I told you they're going to be 17 games below 500, where would you have ranked that?
A massive disappointment.
Okay.
But I mean, this is just such hyperbole for me. I agree with you, Shay. I think that's a little bit of a bombshell remark to make. We could probably debate that all day. We don't have time to do that.
I just want you guys to tell me examples of teams who are more disappointed.
Oh, we'll do that during the break. We'll do that during the break.
I was expecting you guys to do that during the debate.
No, we'll do that. We're going to continue this debate during the break. We've got to go because we got a lot more.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
It is time now to take your pick. Luka showing those ball skills last night against the Pistons. 4 minutes left in the third, drives. He's going to drive in and dish it out in a play that results in two for the Mavs. Or how about this one, shall we? I mean, in the fourth quarter, 3:30. All right, we're going to do this one, all right?
The first one wasn't a dime. It was
no, another one. Come on, we got another one. The fourth quarter, 3:30 left. Luka spins to put up the shot, not behind. He gets it to Dorian Finney-Smith, who sinks the three. Take a look at this. I mean, I got so excited about this one that I jumped ahead, but that was spectacular. Which one was the better one, guys?
Don't stick. The second one for me is
the second one. I was so excited to show that one.
Low key, I know that he's not in the conversation with a Giannis, a Joel Embiid, or a Jokic, even though I think he does belong.
Yeah. Bring it to the table.
He's giving work to everybody.
Yep.
He's put people on blast.
Have I not been saying this?
He's going to need to in these playoffs, too, if you expect this Mavs team to be anything.
Speaking of the Mavs, shall we? They won big in Detroit, and Luka did it all with 26 points, 14 assists, and they've now won 7 of their last 9 and are half a game behind the Warriors for the third spot in the West. And Dallas holds the tiebreaker over the Warriors, and that 3 seed is important because you avoid the piping hot Phoenix Suns in a potential second-round matchup. So, Shay, the Warriors have gone through a bit of a rut patch since losing Steph Curry to that injury, but Steve Kerr says that Steph is ramping up for a playoff return. So who is the bigger threat in the West? Is it the Warriors or the Mavs?
Yeah, the Warriors have struggled to stay healthy. So for me, consistency has been a problem there. And finally, we're starting to see Klay Thompson come along. Yes, and obviously when they didn't have Draymond Green, it was a major problem. But to me, I'll take this Mavs team all day because of what we were just talking about with Luka Doncic. He's played extremely well in the second half, and nobody's even talking about it at all. Yeah. Talk about a threat. This is a Dallas team that went 34-16 against the West. That's just a smidge less, or a smidge worse, I should say, than the Suns and the Grizzlies, who everyone has basically going all the way to the finals. Both of these teams take one or the other. And so for me, this is a Mavs team that's flying under the radar. They have other guys that can help out, including Luka, in addition to Luka Doncic. And he's doing things like this, just passing behind the back.
Yeah,
no one's even paying attention to him. Oh, and by the way, we're over here this morning talking about how LeBron wants to play with him. He's got all this juice behind him. Give me the Mavs.
A lot of juice.
It's fool's gold.
Why?
Because the playoffs, everything gets different. You get exposed for what you really
love.
Did you not see these moves?
This is when being married comes into play because I've watched playoff games with Jordan. I've watched him watch Luka Doncic, and I know you have said multiple times you enjoy watching him and give you him over half the people in the league.
Can I go ahead and tell you why I don't like him?
Yeah, because you're lying.
Can I go ahead now?
Go ahead.
I'll tell you exactly why. It's an undersized group. It's an undersized group that defends really well because they can switch everything and be interchangeable. They're going to bomb you out. But Luka has to be nuclear these entire playoffs for this team to truly go on a run. Whereas when I look at a team like the Warriors, give me the Warriors all day because of who Jordan Poole has become alongside Steph Curry when he's healthy.
Yep.
These are elite shot creators and shot makers. Now, big question marks, bigger than Dallas's. How healthy is Steph? Yep. How healthy is Dre and Clay? How healthy are all three of those guys to go on a run? But if it is, Culture's in place. They know who they are. They can defend. Maybe not top five to the place that this Mavs team can present with the interchangeable pieces. They know how to guard. They know who they are. And the emergence of Jordan Poole has been magnificent to watch over these last month and a half or so.
Bigger West threat, Dubs or Mavs?
Dubs.
Neither.
Neither. All right, who's your pick then?
I am so tired of the national disrespect
for the Suns.
To the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes.
Phoenix is the best team in the NBA.
Yes.
They're the best team in the NBA.
No question. Yeah,
so the
no
question is, who is the biggest threat to the Phoenix Suns?
Grizzlies.
That is the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah. Now, people can sit there, look at the dynamic of how they play, how they defend, 20-2 without Ja Morant. And I want you guys to understand something, because for me, matchups matter, right? And I'm not saying that I think Steph or these guys would dwindle in these situations, because Steph is incredible. But, like, I think that we don't look at Ja Morant as if he's on the same level of some of the other players. Mm. And I can tell you that when you watch him play, when he's on the court, with the way this team is constructed, with Steven Adams, the size they have down low, with Desmond Bane, De'Anthony Melton, the way they shoot the ball, the way they defend, the way they play collectively together, that I do think the biggest threat to the Phoenix Suns.
But this
Suns.
Is bigger, Jay. Oh, this is the biggest. This is bigger of these two teams. I agree with you. I take the Suns over the Grizzlies. I think the Suns are going to win it all this year.
We would all say
of these two teams, which one is bigger? You got to believe in one of these two teams. You got
to go where?
If you had to pick one or the other.
To go further in the playoffs?
As a 3-4 seed, to go further. They're going to see the Jazz, or they're going to see the Nuggets.
I would say Golden State.
Golden State,
there you go.
Okay.
The firepower that they have, the depth that they have. But, like, what I'm trying to tell you is, at the end of the day, this is going to come down to the Memphis Grizzlies and the Phoenix Suns.
I agree.
But the Grizzlies are so young. Like, we're just shooing them into the postseason.
That's
like
what
it's
you're
nothing.
Doing. You've been on these guys all year.
I love this Grizzlies team, and I love to watch them. But in the postseason, when they're so inexperienced and they haven't been there before, it's concerning to just pencil them in the way Jay is.
I watched them play.
But they've been playing
my
really
thing
well.
Is, they've been the most – they've been one of the – other than Phoenix, they've probably been the second most consistent team in the NBA this entire season.
And it would have been the Bucks, so if Brooke Lopez had been healthy.
1,000%. But I feel like there's certain teams when you watch as an analyst, you're like – my question for the Lakers, I never knew who the Lakers were. Were you a fast break team? Were you a low post threat team? What's your identity? When I watch Memphis, I know who you are. I know what I'm going to get each and every night. And I can't, I feel like I know to a degree who Golden State is, but Klay not playing for 2 years, coming in trying to find his way. Steph coming off the injury this late in the season. Draymond, there's still an identity there. There's some questions around whether they will be that team hitting on all cylinders.
I agree. And to go back quickly to the conversation of Dubs Mavs, it's to me about the next step for Luka. If Luka can do something in this postseason with how this thing is constructed, it enables him to say, Ja Morant Love deserved it. But Luka can say, hey, it's me. This is my league when these guys are done, when the Stephs, when the LeBrons move on. I know we love Ja. But we need to love Luka, and it's an opportunity for him. Mm. I give you the Grizzlies. 21-3 without Ja, are you kidding me? Yeah. Desmond Bane's emergence has been remarkable.
Incredible.
It's been remarkable. Yeah. What that group as an entire group has done has been remarkable. It almost feels like they're an anomaly, to be honest. But if we're going to the entire West and we're really opening this thing up, give me the Suns all day. And it go no further than that interview that we saw Chris Paul and we saw D Book have with Doris Burke. And when we're sitting there, by the way, that's one of the hardest interviews I've ever seen. Because you showed a clip, and I can't remember who was defending, Davion Mitchell for the Kings, out there on the island defending D-Book. Doris Burke breaks it down, freezes the video and goes, shot clock winding down, D-Book's looking at it, and she goes, you're under duress. And you still go out there, have the wherewithal to look at the clock and know what to do. And he quickly interjects and goes, I wouldn't say duress. And you know what Chris Paul said after that was? Chris Paul was like, we're good because D-Book doesn't have to take that shot.
Yep.
Everybody's capable of making that shot. That's a group with four guys that space you out with Ayton, who knows exactly who he is. It's the deepest group in the league. They're ready to do it before anybody. So you can throw the Grizzlies talk in there. They ain't ready for the Suns.
But who?
The Suns ain't worried about the Grizzlies.
I think they have a chance to get there. My only thing was if CP3 didn't come back, I thought they would have a legitimate chance to win. But with him being healthy on the floor, they're the best team in the West.
37 years old, Jay? We're talking about 37-year-old LeBron James?
See, for me, this is the best opportunity. CP3? I think CP3 has to win one.
Why
do you say that?
Because the way everything went this year, right, the Lakers obviously falling off the map, the injury to Stephen Curry later in the season, and the continuity that you're expecting Golden State to find so quickly. Ja Morant, even dealing with some of his injuries, right, down the stretch, will he be fully healthy when it's time to go? Even though I've seen him work out, I think he will be. But if you look at the East, like Milwaukee, I think is the best team in the East, but how much will the East do to the depth with Miami, with Brooklyn, like all these teams, like will they beat up on each other? I just feel like when it comes time for it, this is the best opportunity Phoenix has and CP3 will have to win one.
Yeah, and they went on the road, too. And, and that's something that I feel like is diminished in the league sometimes.
Yeah.
But their road record speaks to this is a mature group that's handled the turbulence, if you will, with the season. Chris Paul came back. Devin Booker proved his value, too, in that time. Devin Booker needs to be talked about in this MVP conversation a little bit more than he has been, if you ask me. If we're giving flowers all around, we need to talk about Devin a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. The Suns team is the one thing I think we all can agree on. It's everything's so wide open in the East, but in the West, it's a clear path for the Suns. I like this Grizzlies team. It's just the youth scares me. I love Luka. When they traded away Kristaps Porzingis, to me, it felt like this was Luka's team and this is Luka's time. So he's got to put up or shut up now here in the postseason.
It's not enough.
Just real quick, Devin Booker, I hate and have to state this. I hate that the narrative keeps changing for what we deem the MVP to be. Is it the best player on the best team? Because if that's the case, then it's Devin Booker. But I will say, as things are going down the stretch, if Jokic and the team, they get into the play-in, I feel like the MVP should go to Joel Embiid. What Joel Embiid has done has been tremendous for the Philadelphia 76ers.
You know what I love? That it's all bigs. It's Giannis, it's Embiid, it's the Joker.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about guards. At the end of the day, it's these hybrid bigs that can have guard-like skills, still bully you down low. I love that that part of the game is still there.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
We've got a huge moment here, folks. We've got a long-awaited return. Tiger Woods, his first shot.
Pushed it
a little bit.
Here's what I worry about with Tiger, that reconstructed right leg. That's his back leg in which he gets all of his thrust. You even see on that swing, he didn't really gauge all the way through, and that's why you push a shot like that, because you're not actually following through, you're pushing it.
And I don't want to be TMI, but Shay, you have been in an accident that involved your leg. What happens when it gets cold and rainy and windy?
Yeah, it's achy. It hurts right now because it's rainy here in New York. So it could be like causing him some problems because of the weather there in Augusta.
And that's what we had kind of talked about earlier. And Tiger playing in his first event since that terrible car accident. And it's the Masters of all events. I mean, this just solidifies that he is one of the greatest to ever get out there. What's at stake for Tiger, though, Jordan?
Nothing. Nothing's at stake for him here. We're getting a chance to watch Tiger Woods televised in Augusta.
Yeah.
Place he won his first Masters 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was 14 years old at the time, and I fell in love with the sport because I watched somebody of the same skin color as me do something so dominant out there. I wanted to do it myself.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to be devoid of that selfishly when this man almost lost his life, almost lost his leg. My first thought, of course, is my favorite athlete of all time right next to Michael Jordan going to be okay? And I said, am I going to be able to see him again? Because I want to have those moments again. I want to share them with my son. Yeah. I watch him with his son. To me, what is so cool and fascinating about this whole thing is, what was Tiger Woods 25 years ago and all the way through when he went on his run? He was too darn good. He was too darn distant. Some may say arrogant. He just was not easy to get around, even though he looked like me and I wanted to have this affinity for him. I still loved him throughout. Now he is a father. Now he is a man who's found love again for the first time in his life. He's got a partner. He's invested as a father. He's been publicly embarrassed yet again. He's battling stuff that we know about in terms of issues with certain things. He's compelling to root for again. Collectively, I think everybody's like, I want to see this guy continue to figure it out. We've been on a journey with him throughout his entire life. It's mirrored my life, not with experience, but just how I've grown. Don't look at me like that.
I had those experiences.
In all honesty, though, we've come along and grown with Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy that I get a chance, Jay and Shay, to watch him out there again.
Yeah, I to me, I agree with you. There's no real expectation here for Tiger. I don't care if he plays nine holes. I don't care if he doesn't make the cut. I'm just happy to see him teeing off at Augusta. And truthfully, that's it. Tiger Woods, we've ridden this roller coaster with, and this man has more comeback stories, I think, than anyone. And so this is just another chapter in it.
And he's come back.
And he's come back. Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, we can all attribute to him being one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Yeah.
But in terms of expectations at Augusta, zero. He's already exceeded them, in my opinion, just being out there today and just saying he's going to play and give it the old college try. To me, it doesn't matter what he does.
Yeah. What about you?
What's at stake for Tiger? I think a lot. Because I'm going to look at myself as Tiger right now.
Yeah.
Tiger only wants to play events to win.
You said that earlier.
As an athlete, I go into everything to win. Coming back off my leg injury, I tried to play to win. Now, it wasn't until I was retired that you have time to reflect on things, and then you're able to put things into perspective about, all right, like, how am I labeling my comeback? Like, me walking again, me spending time with my family, that's worth way more. But I love the fact that for him right now, it's about winning it.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes I feel like as an athlete, you know, there are certain benchmarks that you want to hit. Mm. Not that it validates you to yourself because you know your own greatness, but there is something that you need to chase. Like, you know, for me, like watching, going to like a race, like a dog race, like seeing the dog chase the rabbit, right? Like the Jack Nicklaus being up three more majors for him, like in his mind, I know that's something he wants to attack because it keeps him engaged.
Yeah.
So for him, I think there's a lot at stake, which this is what makes me want to watch Tiger more because he's not coming out there just to play charity golf. He's coming out there with an attack and a mindset to win, which is what I love about
him. Oh, sorry.
And if he achieves that,
if
he does the unthinkable, y'all, and
he's
wins
within
this,
two.
Call it hyperbole if you want to.
Yeah.
This will be the greatest sports achievement that I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah.
How could it not be? Think about how, and totally different experiences, but very life-threatening. And we saw, it was documented, one of my good friends, Dan Lindbergh, did the feature on Alex Smith and what it took for Alex Smith just to return to the field. Now, that involved infection and how he almost lost his leg.
Yeah.
But when you actually saw up close what Alex Smith went through to get back to the field, he's comeback player of the year the minute he threw a football.
Yeah.
It was incredible that he got there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the cameras to show what happened with Tiger Woods and what he went through. We go off what we've been reported and told.
Yeah.
He almost lost his life. He almost lost his leg, not through infection, but almost went through a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
He's already shown up and done that part. What if he wins a Masters? What if he wins a sixth Masters? Are you kidding me? Who could ever, when that moment happened, it was done. We're not going to see him again. Wins a Masters? I can't even bring myself to say it because it's crazy.
Yeah.
If he can go out there and do something like that, I've never seen anything greater in sports. Not even close.
Well, and I think it's so inspiring for anyone who's watching who are going through tremendous loss or struggle that the victory, yes, he's walking, yes, but he's still going. He's still inspiring people that, like, hey, this was one mountain I climbed. I got to another peak. I want to go higher. I want to go higher. I want to go higher. And I think that's a lesson we all can be inspired by, is that you have to just keep going for those goals and going for those goals. And Tiger stepping out there is an example of, yes, he had his whole world kind of implode, but he not only got out there, he's on his feet, he's taking those steps, but he's now taking those, like, huge steps into inspiring people that, like, hey, I had this tremendous setback, but this is about the comeback. This isn't just about walking. This isn't about just surviving. This is now learning how to thrive, learning how to live again, and inspiring other people that, hey, you may be down in the dumps, you may be going through something, but, like, just because you get out of that hospital bed, you get off the crutches, or you get out of that wheelchair, there's still more victories to achieve, and that's what it's an incredible, like, thing we're witnessing in real time.
By the way, this is a man who won the U.S. Open on a broken leg.
Actual leg.
Right? Like, think about that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and for people, I got into this debate with Max Kellerman on our show. I'm like, you walking 7,200 yards a day for 4 days after having reconstructive surgery on your leg in climate that is cold and rainy.
Yeah.
Moshe and I share the same thing, right? Like, it hurts me to walk down the street. So pivoting and being able to push back and thrust, like, all that, that's just the physical side.
Yeah.
The mental capacity it takes to battle through that, to be focused on each and every shot. If he's able to pull that off, I agree with you.
I mean, there's few people that are great when hurt. He's one of them.
Yep.
I mean, he's battled through a lot of injuries and been great doing it.
And look, the three of you know about overcoming those obstacles better than any, so I can't pretend to sit here in your guys' shoes and talk about that. What I will say is, as a father, I think a part of this is what's driving Tiger as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't want his public story to be that car accident, and that's how we remember this guy in the limelight from then on moving forward. He wants to show everybody he's resilient, he can go out there and achieve something. He's done that today at that first tee.
Yeah, absolutely. As Michael Collins said earlier, the win is him just being out on the 100%. Course. And I think that's a
You gonna enjoy it today?
You're
gonna watch the Masters and enjoy it?
All day.
I heard Booger say, hey, 361 days out of the year, father, husband do all of it. These 4 days, it's Masters time.
We're in for a treat.
Can I get that same luxury?
Absolutely not.
Hey, that was a hell of a setup for it, though.
Nice TV, try, bro.
I thought she faked the
funk. Nice
TV. Try, bro.
We couldn't have set it up any better.
We're going to leave it back on the Michael Collins.
You got other stuff to do.
Tiger Woods inspiring. We're going to leave it there. We got a great couple of days ahead of us.
Oh, man.
April 15th is a special day in baseball, but this year it's the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson shattering the color barrier and setting the stage for momentous change in society. Many of the biggest names in baseball history followed in Robinson's footsteps, but the number of African Americans in the game has dwindled. Today, a current black star reflects on race, Robinson, and being a game changer in his own right, part of our series, Black History Always.
We know what 42 mean. Type of player he was, type of person he was. You know how he shifted the culture. If it wasn't for him, then I wouldn't be putting this big league uniform on. You walk through those doors, I mean, you don't really see a lot of black guys. It's hard because, you know, the people around you can't relate. Yeah, they're relatable with baseball ways, but I needed more so culture relatable. And so that part was tough on me. Took me a while to, you know, get comfortable in my skin. I didn't really have friends in baseball, you know. Most of my friends played basketball or football and or did other things. I only chose baseball because I had a million things going on at home outside of, you know, sports. And baseball was just another outlet for me not to go home to, you know, not be able to be around bad things. And that's why I play the way I do. I play with a lot of passion, a lot of energy. It's a cool sport. I mean, only if you make it cool. When you come into a game that's been boring for so long and you do something different, then that's gonna shake up, you know, shake up some people.
Tim crushes this ball. He throws the bat, the ball goes flying, it is gone!
My biggest thing was when I did the backflip, people didn't like that. But you gotta understand, you know, I come from a culture where it's a lot of passion, a lot of excitement. People don't really know what I've been through to kind of get to where I am today. So, you know, all that was just balled up into excitement. And, you know, for me to do that, that kind of echoed around, you know, the game of baseball. And now you see where we are today. I mean, that's what we're promoting. We're promoting let the kids play. We're promoting bat flip. And I'm glad that, it's helping the game, you know, move and shift and kind of, you know, making people, you know, look at themselves and kind of open up and be open. A little bit more. You got to think about where I play at. I'm on the South Side, where most of those kids are African American. So, you know, they look up to me, and for me to be in the position that I'm in, you know, I think it's only right that I be relatable to them. Talking about black people in the game of baseball, it's kind of tough, you know, because most black people don't play the game. I'm definitely, you know, thankful just to be able to be open a little bit and let you guys into how I'm feeling and what Jackie Robinson meant to me. Every black kid should be thankful and grateful for everything that he went through, everything that he did. He left a huge mark, and it's still going.
In 2017, the White Sox shortstop started Anderson's League of Leaders, a foundation for at-risk youth dedicated to his best friend who lost his life to gun violence after coming to the aid of someone else. Please join us again tomorrow as we count down to April 15th with another firsthand reflection in our series, Jackie to Me.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C eBikes.com.
You know what time it is, right? It's time for Stephen's A-List. Here's the deal. The list is fluid.
I know it's fluid. I know all of that.
I'm glad it's fluid.
I think he's confused.
The list is fluid. It's fluid. It's fluid.
Only recency bias, Batman.
Because you done lost your mind.
If it's so fluid, how are we not considering the bills?
You can come back.
Because the list is fluid.
You know how he gets away with all of it? It's fluid, man. It's fluid.
You're biased, Jeff Saturday. You're biased.
You can do what you need to do. It's your list.
This list is bananas.
It's fluid. It's fluid.
All right, Stephen A. is not here today, so I am taking over. By the way, Stephen A., you talk about it's always fluid. It's no longer fluid. You owe me a Tom Ford suit. Can't wait for you to come back to the studio. I will be flexing on everybody. But I'm going to tell you right now, here are my top five NBA title threats. Here we go. Number five, you may not like it, and that's totally fine. I'm going to Philly. I'm going to Joel Embiid, an MVP candidate. James Harden has been slightly off. Tobias Harris, he is going to come alive. I actually believe in Doc Rivers to a degree. That's why they're number five, though. It's only to a degree. But I believe with the way they play, they're actually a title threat. Next up, number four, the Golden State Warriors. Stephen Curry's going to come back. Klay Thompson has had 2 years off playing the game of basketball, but he's still spot shadowing, knocking down three-point shots. Draymond Green bringing you all the intangibles to a team that you really need. You heard my man Jordan talk about Jordan Poole, one of those prolific players in the NBA with his ability to score. I'm telling you, the Warriors will be there when it's all said and done. Number three, I'm putting love and respect on their name. I've been talking about them all year. I said it before 2 months ago. I actually think they're going to be in the NBA Finals. The Memphis Grizzlies. You heard the record without Ja Morant. 21-2 without Ja. You add the most exciting player in the game of basketball today in Ja Morant with this team. I truly believe if it comes down to it, they will have a legitimate chance to get to the NBA Finals. Number two, the Phoenix Suns. Look, I give CP3 and Devin Booker so much credit. Devin Booker, one of the best scorers we have in the game of basketball. You talk about a guy that believes in Mamba mentality. Mikal Bridges, the way they defend the perimeter. Campaign, the way they talk trash to LeBron. Doesn't matter who the hell you are, they want to come at your throat. And then CP3, point God. I believe that they are right there. These two teams, oh, that's going to be such good money when it comes to the Western Conference Finals. And then last but not least, number one, I put respect in the name of the defending NBA champions. And I will go ahead and say this, that Giannis is the best player in basketball. Now, we can sit here and talk about skill set. I understand that KD's skill set is off the charts. But if I'm looking at the most dominant player in the game, that is Giannis. And by the way, he's making threes now. He's making his free throws. Combine that with Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, with Brooke Lopez back. I do believe that when it's all said and done, the Bucks are the best team in basketball.
If this wasn't glass or whatever that is,
it's fluid.
I'd throw you through it.
How
do you not have the two top seeds in the Eastern Conference even in a mix?
I don't believe in the Miami Heat. I think at the end of the day, I love their mentality. I love the culture. But I think they're a big-time player away from getting there. And then my thing with the Boston Celtics, I look at them and say, hey, without the Time Lord, he's a huge part of who they
are defensively. But what if he comes back?
If he comes back, it's fluid. Then it could change.
Okay, this fluid thing is
a little bit ridiculous.
Like
it is Stephen A's list, and now it's my list, so it is fluid. It has to be.
Can I tell you the biggest issue I have with it? I'll ride with you.
Celtics over the Warriors, though, even with the issues
I got
with
the Warriors
center
over
position?
The Celtics.
Let's focus on the most important piece.
Yes.
The Bucks and the Suns right here.
Yes.
You don't think the Suns are going to make the adjustments after last year, the heartbreak, with Chris Paul coming back, with what Devin Booker's become, taking even yet another step, DeAndre Ayton another season under his belt, even deeper team than the Bucks, who a lot of people think might be the deepest team. The Suns are even deeper, too deep at every spot. I think it's 2-1. That's my biggest gripe.
Who's stopping Giannis?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Who's stopping five or who's stopping one?
Oh, I hear you. I love the way the Bucks defend, and I think at the end of the day, Giannis is going to be the X factor because he's going to create so many points off points in the paint and his ability to pass.
Here it is. The Suns,
I think it's different.
Suns went up 2-0 in those finals last year. Suns were new money. Mm-hmm. Suns didn't know how to close. I don't believe Chris Paul was fully healthy either. The Suns this year, They're going to make the proper adjustments.
Okay.
They're old money now. They know what it takes to be a champion. Mm-hmm. Two becomes one, and that's my biggest issue.
I'm just saying, who lost last year?
The Suns.
Okay. So that's why I have the Bucks number one.
So you're approving it.
They're the defending NBA champions. Until somebody knocks them off, then I would put
defensively, the Defensively, they've taken a step back this year, and that is worthy of concern. And Brooke Lopez now is back in the fold. Maybe they're finding their rhythm at the right time. I love the Bucks. We're getting these two back. We're getting a same run back of the finals from a year ago. The difference
what do you
is
think about that? What do you think about the 76ers?
I think that is terrible.
It also does have a chance to be incredible if it does happen for them.
Yeah. Could come back. Could come back.
You don't believe that, V?
No, I'm just.
If we're gonna do this, if the Suns, how about this? If the Nets and Sixers found themselves playing each other in the postseason, give me the Nets. I just told you how I feel about the Nets.
But I don't see it happening. You know why? Because Doc's not going to try to get the number one seed to play the eighth seed.
You talk about a fractured locker room. You got Joel Embiid talking about the rotations of Doc Rivers.
Oh,
you got Rivers throwing Harden under the bus.
A lot.
We know who Harden is in the postseason.
There's a lot to think about.
This is Jay's list, not this Jay's list.
Yeah, so we've got two separate breaths here.
Take a breath.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Masters are underway. It's a tradition unlike any other. Tiger is even at 3, I might add. And it is a place unlike any other. Augusta is one of the most iconic sport venues that you just love to see every year. But I'm wondering, I'm going to start with you, Shay, what is the most iconic sports venue?
Okay, so this could go a lot of different ways. But the reason why I think these iconic sports venues are so awesome is because they make you feel something, right? I'm from Chicago, born and raised. And so for me, I'm going to go with Wrigley Field. Wrigleyville, Wrigley Field. I don't care. But just walking in there makes you feel something, whether you are a fan of that team or not. They were called the Lovable Losers forever because it was sold out no matter win or lose there at Wrigley.
We saw the best moment in that building.
I did. I saw the best moments there. In the 2016 playoffs. And I don't care. Rain, shine, good team, bad team. Yep. Wrigley is the best place to be in the summer. And so for me, it's my most iconic venue. And if you haven't been, you should go. It was so awesome. Really quick story. It was so awesome after we had our son. They put his name up on the marquee in front of Wrigley.
Yeah.
And to me, that was such a moment of like everything coming full circle in my life. So I absolutely love Wrigley.
So Wrigley was actually second on my list. Number one for me, of course, someone who's from New England, born and raised, is Fenway Park. That is an iconic space, but Wrigley's number two for me. Fair. I love Fenway. I have loved Fenway growing up going to games. I got to throw a first pitch out there, which was really cool. And it's a space you go in and it's full of such history, as is Wrigley. And it's just Fenway Franks, all the things, and then you get all the iconic Boston accents.
I'll be quick with mine because Jay has a great one that's more near and dear to him. I'm going with the Garden. Madison Square Garden.
MSG,
First time I played there when Notre Dame was in the Big East, met Jay-Z, had a chance to meet Spike Lee, President Bill Clinton. Big East tournament is as big as the NCAA tournament. Everybody's best memory as an athlete, they say, you got to do it at the Garden if you're really going to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's my most iconic. What do you got?
I'm going to be a homer on this one. I'm going to go with Cameron Indoor Stadium. It's really something that's so different because when you see it from the outside, you would never expect it to be a stadium. It looks like a library.
It really
does. You would pass by like, oh, what was that, a library?
That's
another building. Mm-hmm. But when you walk inside, the intimacy of it.
And it's not a feeling of it, bro.
And in fact, it's only 9,314 fans to be exact. Like, it feels different. There's thickness in
there. Favorite moment in there? Do you have one?
Definitely beating Carolina.
Oh. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, beating Carolina.
I had kind of fresh.
I got to try to give them a jab since they, ended my coach's career.
Give you a body blow.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's so cool how those places bring us back. They all give us the warm and fuzzies, naturally, except for that little dick right
anger.
There.
A lot of anger.
Y'all will be back.
John Sire is going to lead us. Yeah, we come back. We come back. But that stings. That stings. Like Vince Carter, MJ.
We were there alongside you. You know, you handled it with class, man. You're looking towards the future. John's going to have this thing in the right place.
Until I wanted to fight a fan. That almost.
Well, we're going to leave all the warm and fuzzies of our iconic things.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.